A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Welcome back to A Word for Today. We saw yesterday that faith has a true and a false counterpart. We saw from James chapter 2, the second half of chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, that there is a real saving faith that works, that represents a commitment of the life, that is a true faith, a faith that depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And there is a false faith, a dispassionate, intellectual, detached kind of faith that represents no commitment of any kind of the life, or no commitment of any serious kind of the life. And that difference between true faith and false faith is illustrating the fact that the most valuable things in existence have false counterparts, like, as I mentioned yesterday, Rolex watches and diamond rings, or tickets to Wimbledon. There are always going to be false versions of those things. And the reason that they are falsified is because they are precious. And the more precious they are, the more people will try to falsify them. And Satan's greatest efforts are towards falsifying discipleship, to try and commit people to a false form of discipleship. And so what we're going to be seeing in the next section of Joshua that we look at, actually we're going to be recapping Joshua 13, verses 1 to 7, we're going to be seeing the difference between real discipleship and false discipleship. And real discipleship should catch our attention. It's as vital as real salvation. Without real discipleship, salvation is unreal and unsaving. That's not to say we're saved by our discipleship, but our discipleship, the quality of our discipleship, will be an indication of whether our salvation is real or not. And because real discipleship is so precious, there are true and false versions of it. And I want to say that false discipleship is the most dangerous thing in existence. It is the deadliest of deceptions. When soldiers do a parachute training, in the early parts of that training, the work they do is confined to the ground. They're just running about and doing things in hangars. And often they're required to wear parachutes to get used to the way the harness works. But they don't wear real parachutes when they do that. They wear parachutes that have dummy stenciled across the back. And those are the parachutes that are just used for dry training, as it's called. But when you come to doing a real parachute jump, you definitely do not want a dummy parachute on your back. And you check most carefully to ensure that the parachute you've got is a real one. It won't have the word dummy on it. It will have a stenciled number that actually will lead back to identify the person who packed that parachute, which will, if in the case of a malfunction, the person who packed the parachute can be held responsible. That's not much of a compensation for the person who is killed by the malfunction, but it will prevent, hopefully, such a thing happening again. And you see, false discipleship is like taking a flight in an aircraft and jumping out wearing a dummy parachute. What a horrible feeling to leap into eternity at the point of death, expecting the faith, quote unquote, that you had to hold you up. And in fact, you're just plummeting to the ground, to eternal perdition. So we see that true discipleship is not an optional extra for especially keen Christians. True discipleship is about eternal life and death. It's about heaven or hell. And real discipleship is something that all Christians should be passionately interested in and passionately committed to being. We want to be real disciples. And that is hard, of course. The Bible has never concealed the cost of discipleship. Jesus called it self-denial. He called it bearing one's cross. It's pictured as dying to the world. The Bible sometimes presents it almost as a form of self-crucifixion. That's real discipleship. So, how can such real discipleship that is the only sign of true salvation. How can that real discipleship be empowered? And the passage we're going to look at now, and in the days ahead, is going to teach us about that most important thing. I hope you're excited about that, and I hope you can see how important it's going to be. So we're returning to the beginning of Joshua chapter 13, and I'm just going to read the first verse of Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess." I want to give you the context of this. Joshua comes in actually three parts, and the first part of Joshua ended at the end of chapter 11. So if you just look back at chapter 11, verse 23, we're told this. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments, and the land had rest from war. Now that is a picture of the end state, and it is out of chronological sequence. It's a bit like those recipe books, my wife has one, which begins with a photograph of the finished product. That's actually quite helpful because you know what you're aiming for as you then go through the process of trying to produce that amazing finished product. And that's really what Joshua 11:23 is doing. It is ending part one of the book of Joshua, which is dealing with the conquest of the land or the dispossession of the people of the land, with a summary that looks ahead to the final product. And then in Joshua 12, we have a kind of interlude. It's a strong evangelistic appeal as it lists all those kings from the time of Moses through Joshua who were defeated and dispossessed. And you may remember when we looked at that, we saw that it was in effect a strong evangelistic appeal coming as it did at the end of part 1 of Joshua, chapters 1 to 11, presenting an appeal to the whole world and saying, look, there is no future in self-rule. There is no future in independence from God. Doing without God, ruling your own life, leads only to defeat and dispossession. And then in chapter 13, we came and we used this passage for our guest Sunday, two Sundays ago. It looked at the issue of what comes next. And we saw in that first verse of Joshua 13, that marvelous phrase, there remains yet very much land to possess. And the message we took from that for our guests was, look, the church is still being built. Your opportunity to join the church, to come into the people of God, has not gone away. It's still there. Take the opportunity while it lasts. It was a wonderful, warming and encouraging message. There remains yet very much land to possess. And that's really how we treated that introduction to chapter 13. And tomorrow, what we're going to do is continue with chapter 13 and see what else is taught. That verse 1 is really only an introduction. What really matters is what follows. And we're going to see it's a vital teaching that addresses this issue of real and false discipleship, and more importantly, what can empower real discipleship. It's a very, very precious message, and I hope you will join me for it tomorrow. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the work of building your church. We thank you for the privilege of being part of that great enterprise for which the universe was created and for which the Lord Jesus Christ died. And we pray, Father, that you would give us encouragements and you would give everyone who listens to these podcasts an insight into the privilege of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and entering his church. Thank you so much for that precious death on the cross, which makes it all possible. Please help us in these days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.